Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening, one and all. Thanks for blessing us with your presence, and I'm so glad you're here. It's finally feeling like spring, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about that. But I just wanted to mention my guest tonight is Adita Felt, who is a psychic medium and paranormal investigator, and we're going to have a great time talking about all the usual things we talk about, like ghosts and how this stuff works and everything. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. I don't know about the rest of you, but this has been a tough winter in a very strange way, and it really started with the night of the Mayan apocalypse, you know, the non-apocalypse, the thing that everyone got all hyped up about and didn't happen, was on December 21st when there was a major alignment in the solar system and the galaxy. Lots of people were concerned that it was the end of the world, but, you know, it was a shift in energy, which is what's usually going on with that. And lots of the people that I know who are healers and very sensitive had weeks, if not months, of feeling not quite right, not really sick, but not really healthy, low energy, unfocused. Do I have the flu? No, I don't have the flu. It's sort of going away. And then just one thing after another, after another, after another. And after a while, first of all, it makes it really hard to work, to stay focused, get anything done in any kind of reasonable way. But it's also just kind of annoying and you're tired all the time. And here we are. The weather got warm. The sun came out. And for me, at least, all of a sudden, the energy shifted. And it's not that I haven't been doing things to heal myself. And it's not that I haven't been going to all the interesting alternative practitioners that I am blessed with in my life who helped me take care of my body. I did all of that. But all of a sudden, I'm feeling better. And that's, you know, that's my story. It's nice for me. But I bring these things up because this kind of cyclical effect of energy changes on the planet happens to everybody in one way or another. It might manifest the way it manifests for me, which is being tired and unfocused and feeling a little bit sick. But it can manifest in all kinds of ways. It can manifest as emotional outbursts. It can manifest in needing to sleep a lot. It can manifest in really getting sick instead of not quite getting sick. It can manifest in all kinds of ways. And people have the tendency to drop into the, oh, I caught something from so-and-so, or it's all the usual things that we say about why we're feeling sick without looking at it from the perspective of there's all kinds of change going on the planet at this point. And as the energy vibration of the planet rises, as we go to a higher frequency, it's affecting everything in me. As you change the vibration of the planet, you change the vibration of everything on the planet. Anything that's not vibrating at that higher frequency is going to tend to get rattled around and either thrown out of your body, or it will have to change frequency, and that's not always comfortable. And that's an alternative perspective on why sometimes, for no apparent reason, you don't quite feel right. It could be the energy, and not just the energy of the planet. We've all gone to an event or a building or a group of people or whatever it is and come away from it feeling worse than when we got there. And you also go to places and feel much better at after you've been to the place, but frequently you feel drained and like, oh my goodness, what happened? Why am I so tired? Well, it's because the people involved are at a different vibration, usually a lower vibration, especially if they're partying and doing all kinds of low vibration stuff like drinking and drugs or listening to dark music like headbanging rock and roll is a very low vibration. There is a reason that our parents all said, don't listen to that stuff, as much as none of us want to hear that when we're kids. And, you know, you come away from it and you've literally been rattled. You've literally had your energy changed and you don't feel good. So you need a little energetic cleanup and probably a good night's sleep and lots of liquids and all the usual things that you get told by your healer friends. So just something to, once again, put in the back of your head for you to think about so that the next time there's something going on with what feels like a physical illness or feels like you're really tired and you don't know why, that you might think of it in a different way and approach it in a different way. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And now we get to play with our wonderful guest, Editha Felt. Are you with us?
I am.
And you're off in the wilds of Maine, right?
Yes.
Well, I figure anything north of Portland gets to be called wilds.
Okay. But it's not really the boonies. It's the wilds, but it's not the boonies.
Okay. Okay. You have to go another hour north, and then you're in the boonies.
That's right. At least another hour north.
For those of you that are not familiar with Maine, which is the easternmost part of the United States, and I don't know whether it's northernmost, but it's north, and major portions of the state of Maine are basically woodlands and wilderness. So I always give anyone who lives in Maine a hard time to say they're in the boonies. So, Editha, you're a psychic, a medium, and a paranormal investigator, and all of our conversations have been fascinating. So why don't you tell folks what it is that you do?
Well, I do psychic readings for people and psychic readings for businesses and psychic readings for places like sites, you know, people's garages or people's backyards sometimes, or but it's usually a business that I'm doing or someone's house, or I'm doing personal readings for people, although I do gallery readings as well. And psychic parties.
Right, wherever you can get people together to do what you do.
Yes.
So why would, for example, a business come to you, or would somebody have you checking their garage? What are the usual things that have people look for someone like you?
Well, people get me to come in. I'll just give you an example. I recently did a place in Brunswick, Maine called the Topsom Roller Rink. And we were called in because they were having all these unexpected things going on and they wanted to know if it was haunted. Now, I should say that the owner of the roller world had already had me. She knew me because I had been called in at a place where she used to work in Portland, where at the Maine Time Dollar Network, where they were having issues. And they had called me in because they were having issues with the telephones, issues with the answering machines, electricity going on and off. And I had helped them out by redirecting an earthbound spirit that was there. And so she knew me from that context. So when she bought this business in Topsom and was having problems, she got tired of the problems after a while and she called me. They were having unexpected smells in different parts of the building. They were having doors opening and closing that they could hear. Doors opening and closing in the parking lot from the office, but then when they get up and go and look out the windows, there would be no cars in the parking lot. They would be in the snack bar area, and they would be cleaning in the snack bar area, and she would hear, they have this really big front door that's really squeaky, and she would hear the front door a noise as if the front door was opening, but it wasn't a squeaky noise. It was as if a regular front door was opening. So she knew that it wasn't really the front door opening. It was some other door, but she would be alone in the building. And she put up with this. They also had coins showing up in odd places. They would go through, they would clean the whole place after a roller rink session was over, and they would find money or jewelry left, and there were a couple of specific places where they usually would find it. One of them was a bench against the wall, and they would sometimes find the money in places in the snack bar. And she didn't mind the money. In fact, she called the money situation, she called that person the money ghost. And when we finished clearing the place out, she gave the money ghost permission to stay. So she kept him, and she kept the guitar man. These were two ghosts that were there. And we sent three others on their way because they were not very helpful. There was also a situation with she had several teenage staff people, and they were hearing noises, and when they were there in the building by themselves, and they didn't like that at all.
Right.
And one day she was repainting, and she had a friend in there painting with her, and they both heard the door open and close, not the squeaky real door, but the unreal door. And then they heard voices, and her friend looked at her and said, "Did you ever consider that maybe this place might be haunted?" And so Charlene said, "Well, yes, actually I did consider it several times, and I guess it's time to do something." So what we had her do was write a list of all the symptoms, everything that had occurred in her business that was out of the ordinary, and seal that up, date it and seal it up. And because I don't want to know that stuff when I come in, I want to have my mind and my expectations be a clear slate. And so, so I called my crew. I have several people who do volunteer work with me, and we went in to check the place out. And it was, the idea was that she was concerned because this was happening so much. It was happening more and more often, and she was uncomfortable with it when she was alone in the building by herself, and so was her staff. So that's why I went in and cleared the place out. Yes.
So when you, I know how I do the clearing work, but I'm always curious how other people do. So what's your process in clearing the place out? Is it a conversation with the individual ghosts? Is it a process that sends everybody to the light? How do you do it?
Well, the first thing that I do when I go in is I read the entire, my body is like, becomes like a dowsing rod. I read every area. I go from the top to the bottom, and I'm looking to feel differences in energy. I want to feel, and I'm also sensitive, I should say, to earth energies. So if there are, energetic fields in the earth that are, not working well for the building that's on top of them, I work with that as well. What I do after I've gone through the entire place and I've checked out what energy, what where energy feels good and where it doesn't feel so good, the first thing we do is we tackle energetic fields that may need to be shifted. And the next thing we do is we meet with the person who owns the property, and we tell them, sorry about that. we meet with the person who owns the property, and we tell them what we found, and we give them some options about what they would like to do. In this case, we met together, and she decided which spirits she wanted to have stay and which she would like to have go. And then we had a redirection circle. And in the redirection circle, we speak directly to the spirits that we speak directly to the spirits that, I'm sorry, I just got two Skype calls there. I had to decline. I beg your pardon. So we sit down and center, and we speak to the spirits. And if necessary, we call in the spirit guides that go, especially with earthbounds, because mm-hmm. with earthbound spirits, sometimes they're not ready to go. They don't want to go, and we need to get a little help from our friends on the other side.
Yep.
So that's what we do. Sometimes we call in angels. We call in, although we don't have to do very often, we might call in dragon energy. It varies according to who the ghost is that we're dealing with, how we deal with the ghost. When we do a redirection circle and we already know who the ghost is and we know something about the background, we sort of adapt the redirection circle for that particular ghost's needs. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And if you're one of the things I like about the way you talk about it is that you're looking at the ghosts as people who have needs, who are in a situation that they don't understand, that they need to be to have a way to deal with.
Exactly. Now, the guitar man, he's really funny. We call him the guitar man because he loves guitar music. When he was the source of many of the unidentified smells that they were having in the bowling alley, another source of those smells was, we called her the juicy fruit lady, because she smelled like juicy fruit chewing gum when she would come through. And you could be, we could have four or five people in there investigating, and we would smell her in one room, and then someone else would smell her in the next room, and then we'd smell her in the next room. And it was really interesting, the juicy fruit lady. Now, the guitar man had a smell like cigar smoke about him, and when he worked there, he had a cigar in his mouth a lot of the time, and a cheap cologne kind of smell as mm-hmm. well.
Well, the cigarette and cigar smoke is probably the most common scent that mm-hmm. gets picked up psychically, or perfume.
Yes.
I mean, typically flowery perfume, but juicy fruit is fun.
Yeah, it was. So what we did was when we had the redirection circle, the guitar man said he wanted to stay, and Charlene, at that time, we were calling him the cigar man. But he asked Charlene if he could stay. And so Charlene said if he would help her look out, continue to look after the place, she was fine with that. So we renamed him the guitar man. And he actually was called the, his interest in the guitar became evident when he would mess with, they had a device that made the music for the roller skating rink, and mm-hmm. he would actually stop that device on certain songs, and they were songs with strong guitar riffs in it. So that's why we thought we should rename him the Guitar Man. And the Juicy Fruit Lady we sent to the other side, and it's a very interesting sight, I think, because it's such a large site, and there was an area in the roller skating rink where more accidents were happening, and it was because of a particular current of energy in the earth. It's hard to explain, but it's like there's a matrix that holds the earth together, a matrix of energy that holds the earth together. And sometimes some areas can feel very, very heavy and uncomfortable in an energetic field. And there was one running right through the roller rink. Mm-hmm. And we had to use methods similar to how a dowser would to readjust that energy field and put it outside of the roller rink. And it mm-hmm. came right through around one particular corner. And what would happen is if you were investigating this, you'd be walking through the roller rink area, you'd get to a certain place where this particular corner was, and your whole body would feel like, oh, so heavy. And what would happen is the skaters would come around there, and suddenly they would feel, oh, so heavy, and they would skip a right. beat, and they're lifting their feet and putting them down, and they had a lot of accidents on that corner. So
I've seen that. I would probably see that as a vortex, as an intersection of lines, but I've seen that in restaurants where the wait staff trips in the same place all the time, even though they know that's where they're going to trip.
Yes.
And it just happens over and over and over again. And, you know, they had a vortex right in the hallway where they had to come through with the food every time.
And so did you readjust that energy field?
I wasn't there being asked to change anything. I was just sitting with someone having dinner and I said, James, watch this. I know what's going on. I know what's going on here because I can see it. But, you know, watch this. And she, oh, look at that. Yeah. It was an old mill building. Mill buildings tend to be very haunted anyway.
Oh, yes.
I had just done a talk to a group of realtors about old buildings and the kinds of issues that there could be and used the building we were in as an example.
Yes.
But and I spoke to the owner of the bar, the owner of the restaurant, but he wasn't interested in having it done. So I was just sitting around with one of the people I knew, you know, having coffee and chatting and looking at it and laughing. I was like, so here, welcome to my life. Here, watch this. In case you think this stuff is all bunk, watch this.
Right. Front row seats.
Front row seat. Exactly. It was also the kind of place where they were using things from the old mill as memorabilia. Mm-hmm. So they had them in different places on the wall and in the middle. They had machines in the middle of the restaurant floor. And it was a lot like Warehouse 13. There were a couple of them that had all kinds of drama and trauma attached to them. And
yes,
I was like, oh, you're kidding me. You so don't want to have this in the middle of your space.
We're actually working on a mill right now. It's Main State Music Theater Costume Design. And mm-hmm. they have their office in Fort Andrews, which is in Brunswick, and it's there. They have a storage space, a one floor up from where their office is, and some very there's a really old elevator there that some severe injuries had occurred at, and mm-hmm. a person died, another person broke an arm, and then I picked this up, and then there was another accident in which someone didn't die in then, but did die later. Anyway, we are doing that as well right now, and that's a very interesting one. The nice thing about the Topsom Roller Rink is that the local newspaper wrote an article about it, and they put a video online about it. They actually videoed the redirection circle, and I'm not sure whether they smelled any of the smells that other people were smelling or not, but it was very interesting to have them come in as we were finishing up that case, because that's what we do. We do the redirection circle, and then we check in with the person a few weeks later to see how that's worked out.
Right, right. Well, I want to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you. We're going to go to a break in a couple of minutes. Let's give people your website.
Mm-hmm. My website. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
It's of course, www.edditafelt.com. Wait a minute. That's my URL. It's www.editafelt.com. That's my business website. And the book website is Real Maine Ghosts, Real Maine People.
And we'll talk a little bit more about the book. I want to remind people that every time we have the show, you can send your comments and questions to us directly on Twitter. The account is at Farkas Files and use the hashtag Farkas Files, cleverly enough, and it will magically pop up on my computer screen. And we can answer your question, listen to your comment, read your comment, and you can be a part of our conversation. So there are so many things for us to talk about. God, when we come back, I want to ask you whether you run into trolls. I want to ask you.
Oh, yes.
Ask you what, you know, your philosophy about sending people on and how clear to make things. But we're going to run out of time here in just a minute. The other thing that I want to do when we come back, which is always one of my favorite things to do on the show, is just to ask about your story, ask about your history. It's like, how did you wind up doing this? What was your process and all that? Mm-hmm. So we have a lot to talk about when we get back.
Yes.
Mill building, any building that's being repurposed as one of my pet, it's a pet peeve and a pet project, because most people do not think of the history of the building and everything being there having any effect on the new use.
Oh, but it does.
It always does. So you have mill buildings in particular were dangerous, traumatic places, and there were always a lot of deaths there. And, you know, the people were not making very much. They weren't treated very well, and that went on for decades and decades and decades. So there was always a lot going on there. But the same is true for churches, which are being repurposed for apartments. There are military installations being sold off now for all kinds of things. And people just go ahead and continue using them. I'm like, oh, you're so crazy. You really have to deal with all these issues. So when we get back, we will have a good time talking about that. Everybody stay with us. We're going to go to a break in just a minute. Here we are on the Farkas Files, but you knew that. Here on Empower Radio. This is David Farkas with Adita Felt, and we will be right back.
Now pitching, Dave Black.
Dave is about to catch his opponent off guard. Not with his nasty fastball, no. Instead of a fastball, Dave will be hurling a tomato.
And the pitch.
Ooh. Using tomatoes as baseballs won't go over well with anyone. But if you're looking to hit the ball further and throw better, eating a healthy diet that includes fruits and vegetables is a home run. Packed with nutrients, they could help keep your body healthy and strong, giving you the energy you need to hit that grand slam. When you look at it this way, eating tomatoes is playing hardball against the competition. Run, throw, think, eat better. Can your food do that? Find out at smallstep.gov.
That's smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the...
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wild.
Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Aditya Felt, psychic, medium, paranormal investigator, and what else? All kinds of interesting things that you do. We were talking about clearing buildings that are being repurposed, and in particular mills. And we work differently, which is, it's always fun to have people on that do clearing work, because there are so many different ways to do it and so many different points of view. The way I do it, I assume that any earthbound spirit, any ghost, has not finished their life. And if there's any way for me to get them to cross over, whether they understand why they need to do that or not, that at intake on the other side, whatever that bureaucracy looks like, hopefully it doesn't look like it does in some of the movies that are out about the other side, that they'll sort it out and they will have completed this lifetime and they'll be able to go through the process that they go through after they've completed a life. And I know a lot of places where people have chosen to keep the ghost there. I know of a theater where there's a ghost that protects everybody and keeps things from falling. But it's not the way I typically do things. I just make sure everybody goes home.
Actually, I used to do it the way you do it. And for some reason, with this particular case, it came up that suppose that these spirits, well, and I will say this, we did send the guitar man to the other side. We told him that we would like him to go to the other side, and that if he wanted to, he could come back and hang out if it was all right with Charlene. And Charlene said, yes,
okay,
he can hang out. I like him. So he
crossed over and he completed his life, and he was going to come back and pay attention the way you can pay attention to a relative or some situation that you love, you know, which is totally possible. And most people, there are ghosts that I run into who stay because they don't understand that you can complete your life and still have that, take that responsibility and have that loving attention to people that still have bodies.
That's true. And I have run into some earthbound spirits who did not have, and these were not elementals, but one case in particular, when I was doing the Main Time Dollar Network down in Portland, they had a young man, the earthbound spirit of a young man who had MR, developmental disabilities, and he didn't understand much about this process at all, had died in this building, in the cellar of this building, and was so familiar with that building. That was really the only place that he knew. And I had a hard time talking him out of there and getting him to the other side. But when that happens, we usually call in family members. The family members will come in and bring them over. So I use family members for that purpose a lot.
Right. And just so people who are not familiar with this method know what we're talking about, is bringing family members who have already died, who have already crossed over, having them come to the edge of the light, and the person feels that love and knows the personality and will go to it because they want to see them, and then they can carry them across into the light. So, yeah, it's gets complicated. There are lots of different reasons that people will be confused or be resistant or any number of things. But typically between angels and, I mean, I've gone so far as to call their dog.
I have, too. It was a young woman who had committed suicide, and she didn't believe in a hereafter, and so she was stuck. We actually found her in a state of mind as if she were floating in space, and we sort of reeled her in as if she were in a spacesuit. We reeled her in, and she didn't see why she should go to the other side, and I asked for help from
she had family. Everyone has some family on the other side. And her uncle came to the edge of the light, and we asked if there were any family pets, and her dog, which she had helped to, she had to take to have put down, I guess, 3 or 4 months before she had committed suicide, came in. So that was really cool. I was really glad. I love it when people's dogs and cats come over to greet them before they go to the other side. I just think it's wonderful.
And, you know, one of the things that's always an interesting conversation is talking to people who have certain religious beliefs about
what doesn't
happen on the other side. And one of them is obviously that animals don't have souls and don't wind up in heaven. And I'm like, well, I've seen it so many times. I can tell you that no matter what the teaching is, that's not what actually happens.
That's very true.
I was asking about trolls because I run into them all the time in mill buildings because of the old dirt and stone foundations and the water and the waterworks and all that stuff. So I was wondering what your experience has been with them.
Well, where I meet trolls has varied. Now, it's interesting. This Fort Andrus has had intensive, lots of stuff done there. And there's very little of the original structure left, and where I'm investigating is on the third and fourth floors. Where I tend to run into trolls tends to be down in the cellar area.
Right.
Find them down there, and I'm not working the cellar in this building. This building is full of, there must be at least 50 offices. Well, maybe not 50. I might be exaggerating, but at least 20 offices and like 3 restaurants in there. Mm-hmm. So it's huge. So I didn't see a troll there. I have run into another troll in a site in Brunswick. Well, I didn't run into him, but I had a paranormal investigation. And this was a fascinating site. They had taken 2 very old buildings on Main Street, spelled M-I-I-N-E, and that's one of the 2 places in Maine that actually have a Main Street that's spelled like the state of Maine. Anyway, they had taken these 2 very old buildings and they had combined them together. And I was down in the cellar and going through these 2 very, very old buildings. It was really interesting. And there was a troll there. Some people would call it a water elemental. But anyway, relocated the troll because there was a very large body of water nearby with wonderful waterfalls,
and they get stuck.
Yes.
Yeah. That, well, and just for people that, you know, we're talking about trolls, like everybody talks about trolls, but there's a whole other realm of beings of conscious entities that are the nature realm, and that includes all the stuff you read about in fairy tales that people go, oh yeah, fairies and elves and yeah, that's all kid stuff. No, actually it's not. They do exist, and they're different in different parts of the world, and they have different names in different parts of the world. But trolls are pretty consistent, and my understanding is that they're the guardians of the earth and stone. And they get assigned someplace because there's some purpose to what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And because they're from that realm of earth and stone, they're moving in geological time. And they think in geological time. So they're really slow and they can't think themselves out of a situation at all.
This cellar had 2 elementals. There was a troll elemental in one corner, but there was also a water elemental there too. Mm-hmm. There used to be a river that had gone about, I want to say, 2 house widths away from this site, and they had filled the river in when they put houses in there. And so I felt like the water elemental was there because the water had been relocated. It was kind of stuck.
Right.
And so we sent the water elemental to the falls, but the troll elemental, the earth elemental, it's interesting. Do you find that I find earth elementals near iron ore a lot. Is that something that you've noticed too?
I hadn't made that correlation, but it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, so we sent the troll along his way as well. We had to get help to get him to move along, but.
Right. Well, my conversation with them usually is, you know, hi, thanks for all you do. Thanks for being the guardian of this place. And a lot has changed here, and you may not have noticed because you're just sitting here trying to guard everything. But although I frequently rescue them from the waterfall or something because they don't pay attention, they get caught. They get caught in vortexes. And, you know, so then they're happy that I'm there because I got them out of the situation they couldn't get out of. But then I basically say, you know, your assignment here has been completed, but you didn't notice. Just go back to wherever it is you get assigned your job, and they'll give you a new thing you're supposed to do, because they're very, very dedicated.
Yes.
They won't leave unless they have permission to leave, and I just give them permission. They go, oh, okay.
Yes. Well, we sent him to a mountain. We thought that, you know, the troll would like to be under a mountain, you know.
Right. Right. But there's a whole, like everything else, there's a whole network and a hierarchy. And
exactly.
If you tell them, just, you know, go and find out what you're supposed to do now, because this job's complete. And they just happily leave, and who knows what the next step is. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen Hellboy 2?
No, I haven't. It's a movie, right?
It's a movie, yeah. Very different from the first Hellboy, which is a fascinating look at all kinds of things all by itself. But the second one is about trolls. And while it's different from my experience of trolls, it's very much like what elementals are like. And they create a whole world that has a sense of some kind of accuracy, of an underground world with the trolls and, you know, a bad king and, you know, all the usual drama that goes with it. So it's just a fascinating movie. If you do this kind of stuff, it's always interesting to see something that represents it well.
It is. You asked about how I got into this. Well,
yeah, I'm always curious.
I'm not sure when I first started seeing spirits, but I heard my first spirits talking to me when I was about 2.5 years old. I remember because that particular night was kind of a traumatic night for me. And someone in the home was being assaulted, or someone was trying to assault them. And I heard someone tell me to get up and go out into the hallway, and that I was to pretend that I had just awoken, and that this person would leave the other person alone if I did that. And so they just told me what to do, and I did it. I was just listening. And sure enough, this person, when I came out, said, actually, he tried to tell me there was a boogeyman. He told me if I didn't go back to bed, the boogeyman would get me. And so it's so funny because we were just talking about trolls.
Right.
So anyway, the long and short of it is the bad man went away, and I realized that something was very different for me, looking back on it years later, I'm not sure I could have put a finger on it that night, but I realized there was something different about me. It was different than other people in the house because somebody told me what to do, and no one else seemed to hear that person. And anyway, right. That's how it started. So, and when I was 14, I had an experience with a poltergeist in the house we were living in. And so that was my first poltergeist. And I always go back and forth whether to pronounce it poltergeist or poltergeist, because I used to live in Germany, and you know the it's IE or EI. So right. I had my first experience with that when I was 14, and that made me very interested in knowing, well, how does this work? It was very scary to me when it happened to me. No one in my family understood it, and that's one of the reasons why I mentor young children and teenagers who have
gifts, psychic gifts now, because it's difficult when you have those gifts as a child or a teenager and no one around you knows what it's about or how to help you. It's really scary.
Right. Right. Especially if you're in a family or a community that has a staunch religious point of view that doesn't support that reality or thinks it's wrong.
Well, I was brought up Seventh-day Adventist on Saturday and Baptist Sunday School on Sunday.
Pretty much covers it.
Pretty much covers it, yes. So some people in my family thought that what I was experiencing was of the devil. And that was very difficult for me because I thought I was going to burn in hell. But a long time later, after years of hiding things underground, my abilities underground, a long, long time later, I began to get some control of them. And I was really grateful for that.
It's, you know, however the opening happens, you know, at least you had that experience when you were younger and it didn't scare you then. So you had something to fall back on about the what the experience was and that it could be totally benign. You just had to deal with what other people believe. What was the poltergeist doing? Were they moving things? And
well, it was much scarier than that. I had a room by myself, and I would hear it come up the stairs and across the hallway, and it would stop at the bottom of my bed and do heavy breathing.
Oh, yeah.
And I would be wicked scared. And then it would go into a corner of the bedroom, and I'd hear the heavy breathing coming from the corner of the bedroom. And sometimes I could hear it moving closer to me, and I'd be laying there with my eyes closed praying, go away, go away, go away. If I just pretend I'm asleep, maybe it'll go away. And then one night while I was laying there, everyone else had gone downstairs to sleep because it was really, really hot. And I was laying there thinking, go away, go away, go away. And it flipped the shade around up on the shade in the window. It went, psh, and I was up out of that bed and down those stairs in no time flat, you know. I mean, that was it. So that was the scariest time that happened to me. And I just didn't know what to do about it. And when I would talk to people about it, they were like, well, you must be imagining this. It must have been a nightmare. It must have been a bad dream.
Right. Yeah, anything but what your experience was. And that's the problem with it. For a lot of people, that initial opening is seeing all kinds of stuff, which you could either consider crazy or you could say, I'm not crazy, so what is this?
Absolutely.
And that's the line where you need to find somebody pretty quickly that knows what they're talking about, who can just say, oh, honey, yeah, no. We all see that at the beginning. I know it's kind of scary, but it's not a big deal.
Well, the interesting thing is that other people in my family had gifts, but no one talked about it because they were such strong fundamentalist Christians that they didn't talk about it. And it wasn't until I was in my 30s that I found out that other people in my family had similar gifts to me. The ability is there. It can manifest or look different in different people.
Right.
And other people in my family have these some aspect of psychic ability. They didn't know that's what it was, and they didn't talk about it. They didn't share it with anybody. So I actually got a call from a woman today who has a 14-year-old daughter who's going to a Christian school. And her daughter has been seeing the spirits of animals for more than a year now, and she doesn't dare to have any of her friends know about it. She has one friend at school who's a boy who mentioned to the Bible teacher that he had a friend who sees spirits around him, and what did the Bible teacher make of that? And the Bible teacher said in front of this 14-year-old that that's from the devil, that you shouldn't be doing things like that, that's playing with fire. And so this 14-year-old girl has abilities, and she's trying to come to terms with that. She's an empath, so I'm coaching her, as I do most empaths, how to protect their
their energy, how to keep it focused, and how to not pull in everybody else's feelings and
right.
into their bodies and screw up their energetic system. So that's usually where I start. But
right, it's anyway. You know, always putting in the disclaimer that I'm not saying any of this to be against anybody's beliefs. I can only express what my experience is. And my experience with that kind of stuff is if anything that's paranormal, that's not part of the here and now physical, unless it happens in church, is called demonic. And it's not demonic. You really can't, not only are you doing a disservice to the people that are seeing ghosts or elementals or whatever it is by telling them that it's something bad and wrong, but if you try to attend to it as if it is demonic, what you're doing isn't going to work.
Exactly.
Because you're using a method for a particular kind of being, and the beings involved are not demonic. Not that there aren't demonic beings. There are. I deal with them all the time. So it's because of a limited point of view and not having the gift to be able to sort it out. There are frequently things that go on besides the social things and limiting teenagers' ability to be who they are and talk about what their experience is. But there are other consequences to it energetically.
Oh, yes. Big consequences. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. I have a grandson who's almost 8. And since he was about 2 years old, I've been teaching him about energy. I've been teaching him how to use green energy to heal himself or to heal plants. I've been teaching him to use a white light spacesuit. It's a Buzz Lightyear white light spacesuit to protect him because he's empathic. And so before he leaves the house to get on the school bus, he puts this on to protect himself. And I think all children should be taught how to protect their energies, because they go to school and they come home with headaches and they're miserable. And something as simple as surrounding themselves in white light energy really helps a lot.
Well, knowing you can do something, whether or not the particular method, you always start somewhere and you teach one method and then you learn all the other myriad things that you can do. So
exactly.
It's great that he's got something he can work with. And
exactly. And I think it's kind of age appropriate. And and so I do it in an age appropriate way with people that come to me for mentoring, whether they're children or adults. But the children thing I just think it's so important, because they come home with headaches. They don't feel good. They have stomach aches. Right. They don't want to go to school. And often it's because they're picking up everyone else's feelings.
Right. Right. Well, tell people again about your book, because that's coming out when? In the fall?
It's coming out in the fall. I'm probably going to self-publish it because it just seems that I want it to be very special. It is going to have business sites and home sites from here in Maine. If people go to my Real Maine Ghosts website, they'll see some videos of some of the investigations that we're doing. But we're not putting everything on the videos. We're saving some of the good stuff for the books. The book will have a CD inside of it that will have some more film, because we film the sites that we're doing. And so there'll be there will be I think it's called a DVD, which will have more stuff on the different sites that actually isn't on the videos. So you can check the videos out to see what the sites are going to be. And we change, different investigations, we put the information up on the book website. And there's actually a place where people can sign up for the book early if they want to on that website. So we have the roller rink there. We have Marie Tucker's house, which is in Topsom, is also on the website right now. Maine State Music Theater, the first part is on there. Lately, we've been doing two videos per investigation.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really very interesting. Cool.
So, well, I'll look forward to seeing that because that sounds like great fun. And tell people again your website.
My website is www.aditafelt.com.
Fantastic. And once again, the hour has gone and we still have a lot to talk about.
I know.
So let's do this again sometime.
All right.
And we can continue the stories. So my guest tonight has been Adita Phelps, who is a psychic medium, paranormal investigator, and generally fascinating person from Maine.
And we don't wear ski parkas here year-round, despite what you might have heard.
If anything, by the time it's up to 40, you're in T-shirts.
Actually, yes.
All right, my dear. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You're welcome, David. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Mm-hmm. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And what another hour has gone by like it. How does that happen? And we will have more fun next week. If you're interested in my work, you can go to househealing.com. On the contact page, you'll find every conceivable way to get in touch with me, including my scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute reading and assessment to see what's going on with whatever the issue is for you and how my work might be helpful. So please get in touch if you think my work will be good for what's going on in your life. Thank you one and all for being with us tonight and being with us all the time. As you, I hope, know, the archive for the show is at www.thefarkasfiles.com. All the shows, there's over 50 shows in the archive, are there. You'll find the shows also on iTunes podcasts. So if you want to listen to the show or you want to point people to the show, there's several ways to listen to it. And we get lots and lots of listeners from all over the world after the show. So it's very exciting how the listenership has been expanding. So until next week, once again, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files here on Empower Radio. The truth is in here somewhere. Thanks so much.